126, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, Mark Bland, Tony Cassina.
Yes, sir.
Hailing from the great northwest state of Oregon. Coming to the ring right now, his opponent, Jeremy the Iceman Bailey. There you are. Way to go, Iceman. Only problem is I brought you to the ring with Kazina's music.
Oh.
So it's everybody loves Kazina right now. Nobody's cheering for you.
That's all right.
Overtime 126, you just got done listening to the live show. Thank you so much for listening and joining us. We got a little bit more stuff to talk about here. Like, oh, I don't know. We could cuss now. Could say fuck.
Shit poop.
Shit poop. Yeah, there's shit poop. Angry again. Angry. Ah.
That's good. That's good stuff.
No, not really. I was never a Megadeth fan.
Get out.
Oh, come on now.
You said that before.
All right, here we go. So I got a couple of other questions as well as some letters from the listeners. I think these will lead to some interesting discussions between the three of us gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the etiquette around non-penetrative sex toys after a breakup?
What?
I bought restraints, a blindfold, etc. for my ex, and she left them behind. It seems a waste to throw them away. It's a bit squicky for a guy to bust out an arsenal of old toys when a new girl pal comes around. What should I do?
You gotta throw it out,
you
don't you?
You kinda got it. Like,
dude, yeah, I don't know.
But they're expensive, dude. Sex toys are not cheap.
Really?
And if it's non-penetrative...
Yeah.
I don't want some other girl's stuff on another chick. It's
but you could just take it and dip it in alcohol or something and clean off the dildo really good or
but
whatever.
But that's penetrative.
Jazz.
That's different. That's different.
Okay, all right.
What the hell
We're talking about
on
blindfolds.
Here.
I mean, you could just always say, I use that to go to sleep.
Oh, hell, just use your necktie for a blindfold.
How many guys have, like, a pair of handcuffs that are now broken because they've used them so many times? Have you ever used handcuffs in
I
sex?
Have not been
have
in
you
handcuffs,
ever used handcuffs
for business or pleasure.
Have you...
You understand what I'm talking about?
Have you ever used sex toys with sex?
Very little.
With Betty Sue? Very little.
Very little.
Have you ever had a girl who's like, I just love it, but you got to just shove this dildo in me instead?
No.
Never had that?
I mean, there was never a
Jeremy
like that. I never,
I've never had that.
I have no comment.
You have no comment? You like sex toys?
There was never a filthy
Is there sex toys that have been involved in any of your relationships?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so... There have been sex toys used. Now, question for you. Do you feel that it increases and enhances, or does it take away?
I think it depends on the people. It totally depends on the people.
Well, for you, does it help better, or is it more for the other person?
For me, it's probably more for the other person. I don't need anything.
He's like,
I'm 100% all the time.
A
every
wind
time.
Blows hard, and he's just,
I'm ready
he's
to
just,
go.
He's staying at attention. The former military veteran, ladies and gentlemen. Former military veteran.
Amen. God almighty.
Yeah, dude, I think, let's answer the guy's question. I think you kind of, in this case, I mean, they're non-penetrative. So, like you said, it's blindfold stuff.
And it depends on what kind of job you got.
You
right?
can keep
if you make a bunch of money, just go buy some new stuff.
What if she's totally into it?
How
like
expensive could a blindfold be?
Can't be that expensive. But
well,
then
that's a good point.
If it starts becoming like high-end Halloween masks that you can wear at the end of the bed or something, that could turn around. Because I worked at a Spirit Halloween for a little while, and man, some of our masks were like $70-$80.
Yeah. Well,
easy.
I guess it just depends. It's the person. I would just be out with the, you know.
Out with the old, in with the new.
Out with it, yeah. That's
out
all.
With the old, in with the new.
Right.
All right. Do you guys believe in karma?
No.
You don't believe in karma at all. I actually do believe in karma. I think there is something to karma.
Look, in a general sense, like that'll come back to get you.
Right.
If I break the law, chances are I'm going to get caught. If you're a dick to everybody you meet, sooner or later, someone's going to be a dick to you or kick your ass.
Yep.
If you want to call that karma, then you can call it karma. But I just think
I think you called it karma.
But you can call that karma.
Do you believe that there is a chance that people are naturally unlucky?
We were talking about this before. I don't really so much believe in luck. I just believe in an accident more than luck.
Coincidence?
Coincidence.
There's
coincidence.
I don't...
You don't think
so? You can call it luck. It's a lot of people right place at the right time.
It's probably
wrong place at the right time.
Next question.
The wrong time.
Next question. Is it fair that sunglasses are expensive to those with bad vision? Now, this makes a little bit of sense because a person who's got bad vision, obviously their eyes aren't working correctly anyway, right? So now they have to go get specialized sunglasses so that they can see because they have to have a certain prescription. Now, sunglasses can become extremely expensive, whether you get designer ones just for the look of designer sunglasses, mm-hmm. or if you start going down the bifocals range and all that with a prescription, it costs a lot of money for sunglasses. Is that proper that people that need, well, let's generalize this a little bit more. People that need medical attention or medical things, they should be so expensive in comparison to people who don't necessarily need them. Like who's got to be in a wheelchair all the time. Obviously, there's a cost there to that, and they're probably going to buy something really nice.
It was probably a much bigger problem before the internet, but you can order prescription glasses online and pay less than $10 sometimes and get them mailed to you within 10 days. You know, I mean, it's not the problem it probably used to be where you could only go to the, you know, eye center in your neighborhood to get your glasses, but now I don't think it's the same problem as long as you got an internet connection.
Are you saying that the people, you know, you got the stigmatism, you can't wear contacts?
Yeah. There's people like that have to buy. But if you're one of those people who has an affliction that necessarily needs the stuff, should it cost as much for you?
Well, yeah. I mean, the cost is the cost.
True. I think, write me a better question next time.
there you go.
Should people who leak classified information be executed?
No.
All right, now this is interesting. We have the Edward Snowden situation going on. A lot of people would say that NSA security documents are technically releasing that would be a treasonous offense of some sort, potentially. Do you think that Edward Snowden should be executed for that, almost in a treasonous way?
No.
You don't think so?
No. I think leaks have been an integral part of American society for a long, long time. And to hunt down the people that do leaks, especially if they're trying to do it from what they view as a high moral standpoint, then unless you're trying to really just, you know, lambast and really commit a genuine treasonous act, I can't imagine ever seeing something like that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. What about you, Kaz?
No. There should, I mean, no.
Just no. Straight across.
I don't think there should be any execution in this country.
Well, no, I don't believe that.
I don't believe
that. I think that execution should happen in this country.
Well,
totally different reasons, though. Like, I've always made the argument, a guy walks into a 7-Eleven, blows off two people's heads.
Sure.
He goes to, he shouldn't get life in jail, and he shouldn't be on death row for 15 years.
But that's how this goofy system works.
It should literally be, we'll give you 2 weeks to finalize up all your stuff, and then you're going to be put down.
Right. If they knew without question it was him, it's on surveillance and this, that, and the other. Yeah.
The burden of, you're saying the burden of proof has to be extreme.
Yeah. Because you have to have, I mean, when you take somebody's life, that's it. And to find out later that, we just had a good lawyer and he really wasn't guilty.
Right.
Well, you can't undo that.
And they've killed plenty of innocent people.
Yes. So
not just one or two.
That's
a
right.
A lot.
So you can't.
Yeah. I mean, it makes everybody that supports it a murderer.
You know, when you come into a 7-Eleven, you announce your name. It's completely you. 100 people see you. You can't sit on death row for years and years. But that's the way this goofy system is.
Right.
So with that being said,
which
you
is its own form of torture.
All right.
You know?
Here's an interesting question. This is just popping into my head based off of some information. I don't know if you guys know, but Richard Ramirez, the Son of Sam killer.
Okay.
If I want to say it was Son of Sam. I can't remember specifically, but Richard Ramirez, the serial killer.
Okay.
Just passed away from natural causes while on death row in prison.
Right.
He was allowed to marry while he was on death row a lady. Do you think that that should be allowed? Do you think somebody who has committed serial killings, has gone to jail for it, has admitted to them, is now sitting on death row, even though he died of natural causes, do you think he should have been allowed to marry somebody, to create a relationship and marry them?
Well, I think it's hysterical. How you're supposed to be in jail. So how is it that you have involvement with the outside world? I mean, I have no idea because I've never been in jail, but what... I thought when you go to jail, prison, whatever, you give up your rights.
Right. That was my point.
We know that
that's
never...
gave up your rights.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's just silly. I mean, even if they allowed it, what's the point? What's the point?
Now, companionship and
all
that.
Right. There's no actual relationship.
Unless you can consummate the marriage.
Somehow. Well, I guess that's worth all the paperwork.
A little conjugal visit action with some non-penetrative sex toys.
Watch it.
Hey, officer, can I get those handcuffs from you real quick?
Right.
Let me grab that. All right, guys, here we got some more interesting questions here. Some stuff that's really good. What is the closest you have ever been to a major historical event in your lives?
Major historical event?
Yes. Think of something that was a historical event that you were within relative proximity to when it happened. Like, perfect example, you live in New York City the day 9/11 happens, and you were within a mile of the towers falling.
Actually,
that would be a huge historical event that you were witness to or a part of.
The hotel we stayed in, and I've talked about it before when I was on house hunting leave, was one of the ones that were reported that the terrorists had stayed at when I was we were up in Maine for when 9/11 happened, and one of the terrorists had left the airport from Portland, Maine, and they stayed in the same hotel as us, and we found that all out within the next day. So I guess that's probably the closest, was 9/11 being at the airport where one of the supposed terrorists were.
Okay, what about you, Kaz?
Brother, I went to the KISS reunion tour in 96, the original four.
Oh, my God. You
understand what I'm saying?
Aren't they still together? It's still the original four.
No, not the original four. Two of the four.
No. KISS is still a live, active band with all four members.
Oh, yeah.
With all four members.
But not Ace and Peter.
Peter Criss is still there, isn't he?
No.
Tour with those guys anymore?
No.
Why not?
I don't think they wanted to do all the touring that Gene and Paul did. They didn't want to work that hard.
Jeez. Yeah. I don't know if that's a historical moment.
But I was with the of course it is.
Are you part of the KISS Army?
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
Do you got a KISS tattoo?
No.
You need to get
tattoos.
One. You need to get a KISS tattoo. That's the only way you're part of the KISS Army. I've seen the tattoo.
I don't need to be a part of the KISS Army. I am the Army.
I don't know if I've been within relative range of a historical event. Gosh, I don't know, man. I mean, maybe regionally historical events, like, you know, you were at the game when Mark McGwire broke the record for Roger Maris, which technically, I guess, is a historical event of sorts.
Yeah, I was in boot camp.
I've never really been around anything of a historical event when it happened within range of it.
Yeah, I don't think.
Like the night Barack Obama got elected president, being in, the park, Grant Park up in Chicago. To see him accept the presidency and all that. Like,
that would have been
cool. That would have been really cool. I mean, but any president like that, being wherever they were when they won, that could be a historical event. Obviously, that's a historical event. What is the most pointless job in the existence of humanity? I'm going to say head of the Tea Party. Head of the conservative Tea Party movement. That would be the most pointless job to have in the history of America. What do you guys think? Most pointless job.
A lot of jobs.
I think it's the elevator. You know what? It's the elevator guy. Okay, the elevator guy who rides the elevator up and down at whatever he's working all day long, every day, pushes the button for you. That's the most pointless job in history. I'm sorry.
Let me defend the elevator guy.
No, go ahead.
I actually worked with one.
Try,
and I can't.
Yeah, he might be a cool guy. He might be a cool guy, but defend him.
I'll even say where it was. It was down at the U.S. Banks building downtown.
Okay,
and this guy has been there for 30 plus years.
Great.
So
awesome.
What his job is
to push
on the
button.
Elevator all night. He's met all kinds of famous people, but he also runs the garbage. He does more than just, go up and down. He goes up and down and he empties the trash, and he comes up and makes sure that the elevator's never stuck because it's always busy. So it is actually something. However, he's one of the few people I think that can still smoke a cigar on an elevator because he got grandfathered in.
Maybe the falafel cart guy too. The falafel cart guy or the Euro guy. But I mean, people do eat, but they don't need him.
Yes, if you want a hero, you do. I'd say that Walmart greeter is the most pointless thing in the history.
That's pretty close.
That's a pretty pointless job.
Yeah. I don't want to be greeted, and God bless. I don't care. Go away. Good morning. Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's a nice thought, but it never changes my mood one bit.
All right.
Ever.
No.
What is one question you've always wondered about but never gotten to answer, or never gotten the answer to it? A question you've always wondered about but you've never gotten the answer to it.
Well, probably the universal one, life after death.
No.
Well, yeah, but... I think that's a little bit far-reaching. Right, something so that's
something,
probably
something
answerable.
Not quite so,
probably something that is answerable.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe something with monks? I always wondered about the monks and, like, obviously, why do you live on the top of a mountain in Tibet? Why? Why there? Why could you guys just agree to move the mountain?
Because they see how crazy the rest of the world is, and they're ahead of their time.
They can't see nothing. All they see is the Himalayas. They don't see nothing. They see snow.
But you haven't been there.
Maybe
it's probably beautiful as hell.
They feel closer to God there.
But they watch TV and they see this filth. You understand what I'm saying?
It's probably closer to God. It's probably beautiful as hell. But yeah, it's like Hawaii. You can go there. You can see it. You probably don't want to live there. You know, it's the idea of paradise lost at some point.
I want to come right back down to South City STL where I can hear gunfire.
Yeah.
Ambulances.
That's what I'm talking
people
about right
running
there.
Red lights.
Man. The question you've always wondered about but never gotten the answer to.
Gosh.
I feel like I've been able to Google most of my questions.
Yeah, except for the big ones that matter.
Right, the ones that nobody knows the answer to.
You know, there is one in professional wrestling. There is one moment in professional wrestling, the Montreal Screwjob. They've talked about it at extent, okay? They've discussed that there was screwing going on, and that's why they call it the Screwjob. Mm-hmm. Shawn Michaels has admitted to it when he did the DVD sit down with Bret Hart. You know, Triple H has talked about it before. But the one person who has never answered 100%, did you have it in for, for Brett? And exactly what was your reasoning for having it in for Brett was Vince. Vince has never answered the question.
Yeah, but I don't think
he's always said Brett screwed Brett. He's always said, yeah, there was a stick into it. And then Sean kind of alluded to it in that sit down. He was like, yeah, we discussed it and this, that, and the other. But there's never been the 100% guarantee that Vince called for the move. He's the one who called for it.
Did they have a DVD that came out that talked about that whole incident? McMahon should have, sat down. And
I don't know if they had a DVD that talked about that. They had the DVD of Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart.
Oh, the feud.
Being introduced. Yeah, the feud in general, and discussing it with Jim Ross. And they talk in depth about the time period and their feud with each other and what they liked or didn't like about each other and how it all kind of came about. And then, of course, Shawn admits in that DVD, yeah, you know, I knew going into the match that something was going to happen, but I didn't know exactly how it was going to go down or why it was going to go down. You know what I'm saying? It was more just I was told to do what I was supposed to do, and I did it. Vince has never just straight up admitted, yes, I did it.
Man, if the three of them, you know, even and that doesn't even need to be a roundtable discussion or anything, but just if there was another DVD
a podcast,
that came out,
like
that
the overtime
Vince, that had Vince talking about how it was all constructed, and even if they had what was it, Earl Hebner,
yeah,
who, you know, and all this jazz, I think that'd be a hot seller.
Oh, I think it'd be a huge seller.
Yeah.
Any questions from you guys that have never been answered?
Well, I guess I remember one that I really looked into for a long time because I couldn't understand the concept of a laser printer.
Right.
And how actually it worked, but I that's one of those things I looked up enough to where I think I can grasp it now. And it kind of translates to one of my other questions that always eluded me, which was, you know, CDs, how is a CD made as compared to how, like, an album's easy to understand, cutting grooves, and it's a lot easier to understand than painting etching zeros and ones onto the CD.
Right.
It's a little bit more
crazy.
Hard to understand or
harder to grasp, get your mind around it.
Right.
I always wanted to know why, I guess some of the questions that I always had that kind of remind me from my young days would have been things like with David Copperfield, how certain things went down, how they were able to pull certain things off.
Which one? Liberty?
No, not the Liberty one, because they've actually written books about that, and you know, people have opened up the veil. But there's been other ones that he did that were really interesting. So some of those magic questions. Magic.
No more magicians anymore.
Yeah, we don't really have magicians anymore.
Like, those special people, like that, the
David
superhero.
Blaine?
No, he's okay.
Chris Angel?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that era's gone forever. You know what I mean? Like, Evil Knievel, Hulk Hogan, like, people that were large. Now everybody's,
everybody's got fake fame.
Everybody knows how the magic's done. Everybody knows how the pro wrestling's done. There's no aura. It's just, I mean, you can
can't
be a TV
be entertained
star.
Anymore. The
you
only
can be
thing
a TV
that's entertaining
star,
is
but eventually, your divorce is in the papers, and you're sex life's in the papers and your bad credit's in the papers and you had a DWI or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no...
Right. I understand. All right, last question before we get out of here on overtime, okay? What have you desired so badly that it hurt, like physically hurt you to not have it?
There was this only redhead.
Only to acquire it and find out that it was, mediocre. So. It was just, like, you really wanted it so badly, but then once you got it, you were just like... This is it. This is like the Dakota ring scene from A Christmas Story. You know, he wanted it so badly. He waited every day. And then when he gets it, it's the Ovaltine commercial.
Endless.
Like, just completely let down.
You remember TurboGrafx 16?
Oh, yeah, dude. Bonk's Adventure and all that?
I thought it was going to be so much better than the three games they had.
And then she came over, brother.
Oh, my goodness.
The smell of fish didn't leave my room for a month.
Yeah, that's a turnoff.
I would say, you know, mine actually runs down that same role with you. There was a video game that I wanted. Like, I used to go to this place called Forever Young up in North County, and it was like Slackers before Slackers ever existed. Yep. And the guy had tons. I knew the guy. His name was Rick. Nice guy. I actually run into him every once in a while. He still
sells. One in West Florissant, right? Further up?
Well, no, on New Florissant, up in Florissant, directly over by the old Police Department, mm-hmm. over at the end of that plaza.
Yeah.
And he had Atari games. Well, he was the first places where you could trade games in and get games again.
Yeah.
Oh. Like, we're talking like 86. Like, way before anybody was trading games and giving you value for them or any of those video game companies came up. Like, there were a couple of small companies. They were at the back of video game magazines, and you had to, like, send your stuff off through the mail to get them. And I got my first TurboGrafx there. And there was a game that I was thoroughly disappointed in. I had been waiting. I was a huge horror book fan and horror movie fan. Horror stuff.
I almost bet I can guess the game.
And I was waiting for so long for Friday the 13th, the video game, to come out.
I knew it because it sucked.
I wanted that game so bad. And when that game came out, I waited months until I had, like, acquired enough trade video games, Nintendo games, to where I could go in, and the game was brand new in the box. He didn't have any used copies of it. I had to trade in, like, five games. Like, decent games, like Excitebike and a few other really good games. I had to trade them in, and I still had to pay, like, $12 over the top of it just to get this game. So I get the game, I get home, I unwrap it, I put it into the system, and I start playing it. And I'm geeked.
Did you try to force yourself to like it?
God,
like, it's going to get better. This is just the first stage.
Yeah, it's got to get better. It's got to get better. Never got better. It just got worse and worse and worse, minute by minute. It was painful.
You know what should have been the Friday the 13th game? You remember that Slaughterhouse game?
Splatterhouse. Yeah, on TurboGrafx.
That should have been Friday the 13th.
Dude, I liked TurboGrafx. I thought TurboGrafx was a cool system.
But they only had like four or five total games.
No, they had a ton of games for TurboGrafx. Yeah, they had a ton of games. They Maybe when you got it, they were still early. What about you, Skaz?
Well, we're talking video games, you know what I mean? I had Nintendo, right? Everybody had Nin. Super Nin. Holy Jesus, that was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Then they had the Nintendo 64, and similar to you, I was gonna freaking out. I said, "My God!" From the quality from regular Nintendo to Super Nintendo was so dynamic.
Huge jump.
We're gonna go to 64.
Legend of Zelda blew your mind when you first Legend of Zelda: Link to a Past blew your mind compared to the old Zelda game.
Yeah, so, it's still a playable game.
Yeah, still a playable game.
I got my Nin and Super Nin. The Nin 64, one of my buddies had it. We went there, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? Because you're looking through their eyes.
Right.
And I couldn't figure, what is this? And I'm like...
Oh, the 3D aspect killed gaming in my mind. Like,
yeah, I stopped. I didn't play anymore.
They made everything 3D versions.
Yeah.
3D versions.
What do they call it?
First person.
You're looking through their eyes.
Yeah,
I couldn't figure out what's going... What is this? And then you go, and you can't... I'm like, I want to see...
Where's his hands?
I was like, I'm done. I played it for 10 minutes, tried to get... I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, but that's
that killed it.
There's just a lot of situations where times, as you get older, it's not so much a specific thing that you want so bad. It literally just becomes something that, it's the reverse. As you get older, it becomes the reverse. It's, you go without something for so long because you can't justify buying it. And then once you finally get a hold of it and you start to realize there was real benefit and gosh, I wish I had had this a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Because my life would have been like, that was me with my lawn. That was totally me with my lawn and my leaves that fall every fall because my lawn is just a sea of leaves. So I tried raking and I tried blowing and I tried, you know, getting
what was the solution? Bagging.
The solution was I couldn't afford
chop down the damn trees.
I could afford it. Chop down the trees or I could afford a backpack blower. I just refused to get one because they were like $300.
Yeah, but they're badass.
But the minute I got one, oh my my life changed. I actually blow snow off my driveway with it.
Just because you can.
Because it can and it can handle it. Yeah, to this day. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on Overtime. I want to thank Jeremy Bailey as well as Tony Kazina.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for being a part of Overtime. We'll see you guys next time on the show.